Good morning. This is Kevin Woolley, Minister of Music at Mount Sylvan Baptist Church. We'd like to welcome you to our morning worship services with Pastor Bruce Rudd.
This is our last message in our Christmas gift exchange series, and the title is The Greatest Gift of All. And we're going to unpack the gift a little bit today, and I've tried to make this as simple as I can. And if we have some young folks that are listening and watching, you might want to write down some notes on the acronym of our outline today. This message or this outline will help you when you need reassurance from the Lord. So I pray that that happens for you today. But look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and let's start in verse 9. The Bible says, "But as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know," now listen to this, "that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Now, I don't know what the greatest gift that you've ever received is. I kind of think a chocolate squirrel's been my favorite. That's the most interesting thing I've ever received. But I can remember one time, and I know my mom is probably watching, so she'll remember this. But I remember one time that when we were kids, there was four of us kids. I have a twin sister and two other brothers, and my dad was a real hard worker and taught us to work hard. And we were always content. We really never asked for a whole lot. But I remember on this one particular Christmas, there were just these round presents under the tree, and everybody's present was round. And I'm thinking, well, whatever David got's what I got, and whatever Greg got, because they're all the same, they weigh the same and everything. And so we opened our presents, and every one of us had received this great big peanut brittle. Well, my daddy is just this way, the way he was, and so we're going around with our peanut brittle, and he told us don't eat it all at once. And so I'm walking around outside, and we're eating on our peanut brittle, and the neighbors are on their new bicycles, and they got all their new stuff, and we got our peanut brittle. Well, a little bit later, Daddy said, "Bruce, I need you to go in my office back there and get something." Well, I go in there, and there's these brand new bicycles that were back there that he had kept in the back. That was the greater gift. But what he did is he tested us to see if we were going to complain or if we were going to be content with what we had. Man, I've never been so glad in all my life that we didn't complain. Now, we might have complained under our breath outside, but we didn't complain in that house. I kind of like peanut brittle. I was enjoying my peanut brittle. But whenever we got on that new 10-speed bicycle, that peanut brittle, I never knew what happened to the rest of it. Well, it's kind of like when Jesus came. Jesus came in humility. He was like a peanut brittle. He was born in a stable. He was born and placed in a manger in a real humble place. People were just walking right past Mary and Joseph, walking right past little baby Jesus laying there. What they didn't realize is there's all these people, think of it, thousands upon thousands of people are gathered in Bethlehem, gathered in Jerusalem, gathered in all their hometowns where they had to go back for the census. And all these people have arrived, and here's this little bitty town of Bethlehem where King David was born. And there they are. And here's the God of this universe, the one who created the heavens and the earth, is laying in that feed trough. Isn't that amazing? He's in there, God in the flesh. And so you know the gospel story. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He was resurrected on the third day. The Bible says in John chapter 1 that he was with God when all things were created. This is who our Jesus is. He brought us a gift. And sadly, and I want to be positive in this message today, but I want to point this out. Sadly, people do the same thing today. The gospel message is being taught, it's being preached. You have the witness of millions upon millions of people's lives who have been changed by the message of the gospel and by a daily relationship with the Savior. But people today will walk right past the manger. They'll walk right past Jesus. They'll walk right past the gospel story, still looking for something new. But there's nothing else. There was only one plan, and it was the plan that Jesus gave us. Now look at your outline. I want to give you an acronym, and I'm going to go ahead and give you all four of these right now. So if you've got your pen ready, because they all kind of connect together. And in your outline, you have the word gift vertically, G-I-F-T, and we're going to unpack this gift. The first thing you'll unpack is grace. Grace. Jesus came to bring us grace. The second thing he brought us, and that's the I word, is identity. He came to make children of the King. He came to bring us into a family relationship, the body of Christ. He gives us an identity. And by the way, you keep your identity in Christ for eternity. It's pretty amazing. The third thing that he gives us, and it's the elf, and that's forgiveness. Without forgiveness, you couldn't have the identity. And you have the forgiveness because you got the grace. But he gives us forgiveness. Your sins are covered by the blood, and they are forgiven not because we are so special. They are forgiven because Jesus is so loving. The fourth letter, which is T for gift, is truth. I cannot stress enough for you to keep this. Fold this up, your outline, or write it in your Bible, because perhaps you got saved at 6 or 8 or 10 or 12 or 13 or 14 or 15. You're going to come up on times as you go through life where Satan is going to put doubts in your mind, especially as you get older. And you're going to experience all kinds of things, and you need to stay grounded in the truth that was delivered once and for all. Stay grounded in that truth. And that truth is that your salvation, when you genuinely receive Jesus Christ, is a work of grace. You have now been purchased and bought by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, placed in the Lamb's Book of Life, and that gives you identity. You have been forgiven. All of your sins have been forgiven. That gives you forgiveness. That forgiveness goes with you through eternity because it was only a one-time sacrifice at the cross. When Jesus died on the cross, it had to cover the sin from that point on. But to stay in fellowship with God, you're going to have to daily confess your sins. Forgiveness is vital to your walk. And then the most important thing, once you're a believer, is that last one, and that is truth. And we'll focus on that a little bit more. But look in verse 9. You got to remember who's writing these scriptures. The Holy Spirit is moving the hand of Paul to write this. Paul was schooled in the University of Tarsus. The University of Tarsus was the most renowned university in the world at that time. The University of Tarsus, you had to have wealth to even go there. Likely you had a family that was wealthy. And likely, Paul's family was wealthy. And so Paul is as schooled religiously and academically as you can even imagine. He was not only very religiously schooled through Gamaliel and others, but he was also an intellect. Here is Paul, comes out of the school of Tarsus. And he says in Philippians 3 that he counts it all as rubbish that he might know Christ. He discovered that he thought he was smart until he met Jesus. And he realized when he met Jesus Christ that Jesus revealed to him things about God that could not possibly be learned at the University of Tarsus. Paul's making a point. He's speaking to different Greeks and different peoples in the church of Corinth. Remember, Corinth was like the Las Vegas of their day. And so he says, but as it is written, whenever you see that, you know you got to look back. He's talking about Isaiah chapter 64. He's speaking of the prophecy that was given. He says, eye has not seen nor ear heard. He's saying this is not something you're going to learn in your Greek school. This is not something you're going to learn at the University of Tarsus. I've learned that myself, Paul would say. He's saying, but what I've discovered in Jesus Christ, eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Did you get that? What he's saying is that those who receive the gift, who open the gift of faith in Jesus Christ, those who receive the gift of salvation, he's saying your mind and your heart will open up to a brand new realm that you've never discovered before. You're going to understand things because they're going to be spiritually discerned. And a lot of folks look at this scripture right here and they see it as in our future glory when we're in heaven. This is speaking of right now as you receive Jesus Christ. And I can tell you, before I came to know the Lord, my eye had not seen nor heard the things that I understood once I came to know the Lord. And the Bible says in Ephesians 2:10 that God has prepared us for good works even before the foundation of the world. And he says the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Look at your own life as a believer. Look at the things that you do now for the kingdom and for the glory of God as you unpack that gift on a daily basis. Look at the things you do, the cards that you write, the people that you encourage, the lessons that you teach, helping with a nativity or helping with something else, or witnessing to somebody, or blessing somebody financially, or helping somebody that's poor, feeding somebody that needs the food. All of these things that you're doing because God is at work in your life because you unpacked the gift of Jesus Christ. Every time you say a prayer is because you unpacked the gift of Jesus Christ. Every time you find yourself worshiping the Lord spontaneously, does that ever happen to y'all? Happens to me all the time. Or you're working or you're doing something and then suddenly you realize you've received grace. You realize that you've received identity, that you've received forgiveness. And before you know it, you're praying for somebody that's lost and you're witnessing those very nuggets of truth. Why? Because what God's doing in your heart. And so look at verse 10. The gift, check this out. There is a gift for each one of us that has already been given before the foundation of the world. There is a gift with your name on it for every human being living on planet Earth right now. There is a gift. It's been wrapped up. His name is Jesus. We've been told about the gift. There's nobody else's name on your gift, just your name. But the key is will I receive the gift? Will I open the gift? And will I unpack the gift? Now, here's the thing. You don't see all that you get right when you open the present. Now, typically, we open a present, and we pull out whatever we got, that's it. We see it. There's what we got. Not with the Lord. You're unpacking it every day of the week. And we're discovering new things as we unpack that gift. You know why? Because the one who gave it to you is eternal. Jesus Christ is not like you and I. We'll never be God. We're the redeemed. He is the redeemer. That's the difference. We'll never be God. So we are eternally unpacking the gift. You get to heaven and you'll think, I've got it all figured out now. I've seen the complete gift. No. Guess what the Bible says? For the word of the Lord endures forever. You will continually unpack the gift for all of eternity in heaven. There are glories and things that you and I have not yet seen that we will not see for eternities, eternities from now, because God is daily going to continue to reveal them, because we are the redeemed and He is the Redeemer, infinite in wisdom and power and creativity. Is that powerful or what? That's what we have. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20 says that you have been bought at a price. In fact, it's just three chapters or two in my Bible, two pages down. Listen to what he says right here. He says, or do you not know, he's speaking to the same people, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you. Now, that's incredible. It's really simple. Don't let it complicate. He's saying that in your body, what's in your body? You make your decisions from in your body. You make your choices from in your body. You worship the Lord from in your body. All of these things happens from within your body. And he's saying this gift, when you receive it, is within you. He says the Holy Spirit dwells in you. But here he follows it in verse 20, and this is where we have an identity. This is where forgiveness comes in. He says, for you were bought. He's saying you were paid for. And how? Why were we bought? That word bought, you can underline it. You can circle it in verse 20. 1 Corinthians 6:20. Circle the word bought. And when you see that word bought, it sounds simple to you and I. But it was not simple for God. That word bought means that something had to be paid for. So who received the exchange of funds? If God had to purchase us, then who received the purchase price? Jesus Christ came to earth, died for our sins, to pay the purchase price that the Father received on our behalf. In other words, he paid our sin debt and he purchased it. He's saying, I'll take their sin and I'll purchase it. Father, what's the price? He said, your blood. And those who receive him receive the fact that we have an identity with Christ because we've been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's powerful. He says, for you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body. That means glorify him in the decisions that you make. And in your spirit, that's your thinking. Notice that's a little S right there. In your spirit, that's your thinking. Glorify him in your thinking. You're starting to get all mad and upset and vengeful and angry about something. Say, Lord, change my spirit and let it glorify you. Because it doesn't belong to me anymore. My thinking belongs to you. Do you get it? Because he says, which are God's. That's your identity. And then we have that forgiveness. Look at, by the way, let's follow this through a little further. Look at verse 10. But God has revealed them to us through his spirit. I'm back in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. But God has revealed them to us through his spirit. Notice that capital S. The Bible says those who are of God hear us. When a person receives Jesus Christ as Savior, as he studies the word and grows and begins to mature in the Lord, what happens is you're having, and you may not even realize it, you're having conversations with God. When you're in the Bible, you're having conversations with God. When you're praying, you're having conversations with God. When God leads you to do certain things, it's because God, the Holy Spirit, is leading you to do certain things. He is guiding you and leading you. For the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. In other words, we can't know the deep things of God except unless the Holy Spirit reveals them. And he's revealed it through his word. Look at verse 11. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man? Now he's just using it. What he's doing is making a point. He's saying if you want to know the things about the things of men, then you got to know things about the spirit of men. That's a little S in verse 11. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? It's a question. It's as high as a university can teach. It's as high as an academia can teach. But he's saying if you want to go above that and you want to know what created this heaven and this earth and you want to know what happens after you die and you want to know why you do the things you do or why your heart lusts for the things of the flesh and lusts for the things of the world and the pride of life, if you want to understand why you think that way, man can only take you so high. Philosophers can only take you so high. But if you want to go above that and learn the reason behind everything, then it's going to happen right here in the last part of verse 11. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. And you see, whenever you get saved and you receive grace and you receive identity and you receive forgiveness, the Bible says this, says that you have been sealed by the Spirit, capital S, until the day of redemption. The Bible tells us that you need not anyone teach you Doesn't mean you don't need Sunday school teachers. Don't misunderstand that verse. Doesn't mean you don't need preachers. It says, you need not anyone teach you, for you've received an anointing to teach you. You know what he's talking about? That's got to be in context there. He's talking about don't go astray. Don't get steered away from the gospel, because the Holy Spirit will keep you grounded. Listen to the Spirit. Now, how do we listen to the Spirit? By the Word of God. Depart from the Word of God and your mind might go in some crazy directions. But as you're studying and learning the principles of the Word of God, what happens is God pulls you back to His Word. And He reminds you where your mind starts going astray, where Satan whispers these little lies here and these little lies there. Then what happens is the Holy Spirit says, hey, remember that verse in so-and-so? Let me take you back over there. Let me give you the context of that. And then what happens, you're hiding the Word in your heart. And what happens is now God has something to work with to keep you on the railroad track so that you're not going in the wrong directions. And that's where truth comes in. The mind of Christ. Truth. Look at, let's read real quickly. I want to look at verse 12 and let's keep going a minute. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. Now we have the spirit of the world anyway. We already have that. But when we get saved, we get something new. Remember that newness that you felt, especially if you were older when you got saved? Or that newness that you feel now, even as God is growing you spiritually in your faith? He says, but the Spirit, capital S, who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. That's why when a believer is trying to share these faith principles with a non-believer, they come across as foolishness to them, according to verse 14. He's saying, verse 13, these things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. We do that all the time. We're doing that right now. But look at verse 14. This is the natural man. This is the man that hadn't received the Holy Spirit yet, that hasn't got saved. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. And I want to say to the natural man, because I was a natural man at one time, you were a natural man at one time, and I want to say to the natural man, do this. Open the gift that's already been given to you with your name on it. And suddenly, you'll understand why Christians are different. Suddenly, you'll understand why we pray like we do. You'll understand why we worship the way we do. Why we look like idiots to you. I like looking like an idiot for the cause of Jesus Christ. Amen. I was surprised Teresa didn't have something to say on that one. Taking notes. Look at verse 15. And now we're at truth, but forgiveness. But he who is spiritual judges all things. Why? Because we've received forgiveness. We've received identity. We've received grace. Now we have truth. We're discerning that truth. So he who is spiritual, that's the saved, judges all things. Doesn't mean that we become judgmental. There's a big difference. Judges all things means we make a discerning evaluation by what we see. We're evaluating what we see. Yet he himself, watch this, is judged by no one. My Bible has rightly in italics. That means it was added by the translators to make it easier to read. I like to read the verse with it and without it. Yet he himself is judged by no one. You know why? Because our judgment's already been taken care of. It's handled. Who can judge us? If God be for us, who can be against us is what the Bible says. It's powerful. And in verse 16, here's the truth. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. I want to show you something real quick, just illustrate something, of how we got this knowledge that didn't come from a school that we read in our Bibles and why you can trust it. Y'all know what a motor, a transmission, and a rear end is, right? Or rear differential. Well, I want to describe it with that. Dana, do we have that picture? Look on the screen. There's your motor right up there at the front, your motor. There's your transmission that takes the power from the motor. It takes that energy and that power, and then through a series of gears, it takes that motion and that energy and it sends it down the drive shaft to the differential. There's three things that God did in making his word known to us that we discover when we unpack the gift. The first one is revelation. Think of revelation as that motor right there. That motor represents all of God's power. It represents the engine of God, the Creator God, with perfect timing, by the way. The power of God. And then it transmits that power, that communication, and that understanding. The Holy Spirit takes the revelation of God, because God wants man to know who he is. He wants man to know he created everything. He wants man to know that we exist because he created us. He wants man to know that a squirrel is a squirrel because he made the squirrel. A cow is a cow because he made the cow. The oceans are oceans because he made the oceans. And he wants to know why we fail, why we need to be saved, and what comes after that. Okay? That's all in the engine. But we're back there. Me and you are the differential. We're that rear end back there in the back. That's what we are. But we've got to find out from the motor what God wants us to understand. And the only way we're going to get it is by inspiration. That's the transmission. Inspiration of the Holy Spirit. That's the transmission. So God, through the agent or the act of the Holy Spirit, takes his creative understanding, his creative knowledge, and he pushes it through the transmission of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit inspired the writers, the prophets, and men, inspired those men to be able to write the very chosen words of God into what we call our Bibles. These are not books. This is the holy, sacred Word of God by which men will be judged in the future. It's not a book. This is the Bible. It's special. It's different. And it's written in a way, not the way we would write. We just tried to explain everything as we write. The Bible would have to be 20 feet wide by the time we got through with it. God, he makes us go here and there and all over the place because he wants it to be spiritually discerned. Okay, so the Holy Spirit, by inspiration, moves in the heart of men to move the pen to write what we have called the Word of God. Now, we've been talking about these things can only be known spiritually by the Lord. That's illumination. Think of that drive shaft coming from the transmission as like the lights coming on. Now, the Holy Spirit is moved in the hearts of men to write the Word, and we understand it through the drive shaft of the Word. And then when it gets to our heart, we're that differential. That's where that energy now comes to a new set of gears that takes that power and that rotation and sends it to the wheels. You and I, as we go up the drive shaft of illumination into the transmission of the Word of God, learn about the power of the engine of Creator God that revealed it to us. Does that make sense? In reverse. And so that turns our wheels of life so that the way we think in our bodies is bringing glory to God. The way we walk in the Lord in our bodies is bringing glory to God. And as we do that, what we find is for some reason the engine keeps running because God is eternal. It never runs out of gas. We need to take that gas tank off the back because we don't need it no more. But that engine is always running because it's eternal. The spirit transmission, that transmission will never go out. I had a truck one time, got stuck in third, column shelf, Chevrolet, 64 model. Got stuck in reverse, I mean. Couldn't get it out of any gear, stuck in reverse. I had to do a U-turn on Highway 64 and drive all the way to JJ's transmission and backwards. My neck had such a crick. I went about 11 miles in reverse. I got to wave at everybody that came by. Went backwards all the way to JJ's transmission up there on Old Henderson Highway and pulled in there to get that thing fixed. And what was amazing, he popped the hood in just a few minutes up there doing some stuff like this. All of a sudden, I had column shift again. And I learned how to fix that after that. And so we have revelation, we have inspiration, and we have illumination as we open and unpack the gift that we have in Jesus Christ. And don't tell everybody that you saw pictures of motors and engines and transmissions at church on in your sermon today without explaining the reason why. But that's how it works. Aren't you glad of what we have in Jesus Christ?
Thank you so much for tuning in to the worship service at Mount Sylvan Baptist Church and Pastor Bruce Rudd.